League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Del for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And we got another... Oh, man! Though, we do have to give Dell his props that Florida actually won, the state of Florida actually won one game yesterday. They were 1-11 this weekend in football.
Dell, do you represent the entire state of Florida?
Yes, no, I represent a certain section of Florida. I don't care about the entire state.
You went 1-1, didn't you?
That's your peeps.
Yeah.
No, that's your peeps, okay? And
you know, no, they're not.
You're a Florida man.
You don't, no.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense. Why would I root for every team in a state?
I represent all of Texas.
This is John's identity politics.
Yeah.
You represent all Florida. That's your identity. John's identity. Did you say all Italians?
All of Texas.
Oh.
All of Texas.
All of Texas. Yeah. Oh, your Longhorns, yeah.
Yeah, my Longhorns.
You're up to the top
my
three.
Bears, my Baylor Bears, my Horned Eagles.
Your Dallas Cowboys? Oh, okay. Now it's different.
But we did. We had that win last night, and we had the Rockets.
Yeah.
They played the Wizards. You take that with a grain.
I watched pretty much all of that one. I was watching that in Miami. I had to pause between the receivers. And God, Washington sucks. I mean, it's just
terrible.
I was watching them just thinking, my God, it's like this would be the worst. This would be one of the worst losses I've ever seen because they had a big lead, and it came back down to, what, five? But then the Rockets would just extend it, and you realize there's pretty much nothing the Wizards could do to win this game.
Yeah. No, they're bad. That's just a bad basketball. Kyle Kuzma is your best player. It's bad.
Yeah, and he's not a serious person.
He's not. No, he's not a serious. He's not a serious person at all. They are not serious people. And that, how long has it take? How bad have you been for all of these years, and you can't put together a team? I understand the free agents aren't going to go there, but you would think like the Rockets, they're made just basically of draft picks, right?
Yeah, but you look at what – so I've been really happy about – you know, I've just been really happy about the way the Rockets have – it was very, very frustrating a couple of years ago when they kind of had – you know, we didn't really sure what you had with Jalen. You know, he's explosive and all that, but he seemed wildly immature, as you would expect for his age. But you had a really super soft coach. You had Alpi, who, you know, showed some flashes, but for the most part, I mean, you just had that whole vibe thing going on where they weren't serious about winning. They didn't have any direction or leadership. And then you started adding, like, Alpi grew up, we started seeing that he's really, really good. Jalen still has his moments, but he's headed in the right direction. But KPJ out of here. But, you know, you added two guys to the mix. Now, I'm going to keep mentioning them just because I think they're this important. Amen and Tari and you know, Jabari to a lesser extent. I think Jabari was important to get on the team because he's serious about ball. But those two guys, I saw on Twitter, Will from Will and Brad O. Will said, I can't wait for the day that Amen and Tari finally get 30 minutes a game each. You know, they're finally starting. These guys, so you can see what they can do with 30 minutes. I'm kind of there too. Like Tari's really turning into, you know, he's trending towards complete player. And then Amen Thompson is just a winner. And then you look over at Washington, and those are two guys that kind of change culture, and they're dogs, and they do this and that, and Alpe is talented. You looked at Washington, it's, God, you had Bradley Beal, you had John Wall, injuries, whatever. Bradley Beal just became, that team became a bunch of nothings. And you look at them right now, and I kind of get the blues watching a team like Washington because I just think, man, that could be us. If some things didn't go right with some drafts from, you know, Rafael Stone didn't do a good job of drafting, that could have been us, right?
Well, that's it. But Rafael Stone did do it. And that's what I'm saying is, yeah, they got a lot of guys, homegrown guys, but they're not very good. I mean, I think we're a little bit spoiled with Rafael Stone. When you're grabbing a Tari Eason and an Alperen Şengün 15th and 17th or whatever,
in back-to-back
whatever they
went, drafts, 18th, right?
I mean, those are you don't get you don't get your best player with the 15th overall.
Wait, hang on a second. Wait. So Alpe and Jalen were that draft. Was that a Morey draft, Tari Eason?
No. Tari Eason was drafted by, I'm almost positive, Rafael Stone drafted all those guys.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who was that? Well, Tari was the second. Let me see. You had Jalen, Alperen,
the 17th.
Tari.
He was,
yeah. Who was Tari? Tari was which draft?
With Jabari.
Yeah, Tari and Jabari. And that was, that was Rafael Stone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
This is all, yeah.
Core, four core guys in the first round. And two of them, as you mentioned, the two best, the two best weren't even picked inside the top five.
And I'm not sure, I think he's still in limbo whether or not Jalen is going to be a cornerstone, right? And Jabari is Amen with the fourth pick. Reed Shepard with the third pick.
God, Reed had a nice game yesterday. That was good to see.
And oh my God, listening to at Craig Ackerman when he pulled up when they were on a break and he pulled up and he hit the three and I thought Craig Ackerman, they're really Calvin Murphy loves him some Reed Shepard. Calvin Murphy went through the Reed Shepard highlights at halftime and was like, and he said it before. He said this young man. Just get out there and shoot. Just shoot. Well, that was Calvin, right? Calvin was going to shoot anytime he possibly could. But people are really rooting for Reed Shepard to be that guy. And and when he hits the way that he hit yesterday, it's like, wow. You really got something.
Yeah, he's going to be good.
But it was, listen.
He's going to be good. Just don't, it's no reason to rush him, though, right now.
No.
That's what
I kind of like
about, like, you know how good he is? You know how anticipatory he is, too, defensively? Like, that's one of the crazy things that I don't know that a lot of people who didn't play a lot of, like, if you played a lot of basketball in your life, pick up basketball, and you watch Reed Shepard, you're like, I've seen that guy in games before. That weasel who always knows. He's watching your eyes. He knows where the ball's going. He's reading you. He's going to jump the passing lane. Reed is that, and he's pretty good on the ball as a defender, too. He's just a little small, that's all.
Not like Amen.
Amen is
in a different world. Listen.
Fastest player in the league, Amen Thompson?
Listen, I didn't mind. I hate to say I didn't mind at all that Fred VanVleet didn't play last night. I did not mind at all that Amen got the start, and look what Amen did.
Create some minutes for other guys, That's
four
nice.
For eight, four steals, four blocks. Eight rebounds, 5 of 8 from the line. Amen Thompson is just, he's a stat. There is not a zero on the board. There's not a
is
zero.
Is he going to turn into sane Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, well, look it. He was 0-for-1 from 3. He's not Russell Westbrook.
I love it. He doesn't take. You know what? The two most impressive stats you had there were steals and blocks. He is a player who does a fantastic job. So Alperen's never going to be a shot blocker. He doesn't have that kind of springs. But Amen Thompson's ability to impact. So a block shot is erasing a possession, basically, erasing a shot. And then you have steals, which erase possessions. Like, these are winning plays. And offensive rebounding is what Tari Eason does so well. This creates additional possessions. You've got a legitimate three-point shooter. I mean, he's a gunner now. Reed Shepard's got crazy range. He's got a mid-range game, an ability to go off the dribble and pull up as a mid-range guy. He's got that off-ball mentality to go get those steals, and he's pretty good on the ball. You got Alperen, who's highly skilled as it comes to – I mean, that spin move now there's really not a lot guys can do against a spin move. It's just a matter of can he get the separation to get it off, or will it get blocked? And if he continues to work on his three-point, which I think is the next area of growth for him to become a much better three-point shooter, I'm telling you, you're in the you're in the game for a championship. There's a lot of things that have to happen, but they've got what it takes to be a championship caliber team. They're in that zone right now. I'm not sure the Texans are in that zone. I thought they were.
Yeah.
I thought they were, but I know they're close. I know they're close.
Let's wait 3 weeks. Let's wait till Nico gets back. Three weeks from now, they're going to be 9-4, and we're going to be all excited about them again. I don't know, though. I'm going to tell you this. What time is it? Okay, we still got a little time. Like you watch a Kansas City game, there is nothing but red in that crowd. You watch a Rams game, it's half and half. I mean, even Miami was represented, and they don't give a rat's ass about their football team. I mean,
That's not true.
Yes.
The fans for the Dolphins travel well. You're referencing hurricane stuff, but yeah. Dolphins fans travel.
Well, you know that. I mean, the Rams and Chargers have a hard time just Dolphins maintaining fans, home.
No, well, home I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you this, Lance. We're one of those cities.
No, they travel.
Every single team.
Wait, we travel well, too, though, but our fans also travel.
No. Every single team that comes in here has 30% of the stadium. At least 30%.
Nah, 30%?
30%.
Some of them,
yeah,
I would say.
Well, the Steelers, the Lions, when they come in here.
See,
the
Packers, when they come in here. Well, when did this Lion thing happen? And you know what's crazy?
Well, now, because they've never made a Super Bowl.
So here's something historical that you may not know this, and there's a lot of people actually listening may not know this. So there was a heavy migration from Michigan to Texas into Houston back in – when I was in junior high, we had a coach, two of our coaches, Coach Liverance and Coach the cool one. Liverance was not the cool one. The other
Who cares?
Cool one.
Just move on.
But anyway, well, for me, it's tearing me up because now. But anyway, and they both came from Michigan, and they were coaches and history teachers or whatever. But there was a big influx because I don't know what was going on there. Obviously, some kind of financial, hardships, economic hardships, and a lot of people from Michigan moved down to Texas, and that's the case. I've run into multiple people over the years from Michigan. I think there's a lot of transplants here where maybe they came down when they were kids with their family. Maybe there's some who came down when they were younger. Of course, they'd be older now. That's one of those weird relocation things that happened in the 80s that a lot of people probably don't even know about. So I'll bet we have more people from specifically Michigan, and I can't tell you exactly what it was.
But listen, when Pittsburgh comes, they fill up.
Yeah, but
the
Pittsburgh,
stadium.
I get when, the Lions. Doesn't it seem weird to you? The Lions?
No,
they don't have this
now,
history
not
of
how good they are.
Yeah, but they don't have. Where are they coming from? They don't have a history. We've got what I was saying was we may have people living here, but they don't have a history of being a good football team.
No, that's why now they're all on board with it because they finally got a good team. They got one of the best teams in the NFL. You know they're gonna travel more. Of course they are. Now that they're good, they're starving for a football team that gets to the
watching
Super Bowl.
At your own
There's
place.
Only four teams that never made a Super
you
Bowl.
You don't need to
and
come
Lions
here.
One of them.
We're going to have to build a wall around NRG Stadium.
Because we're going to sell the ladders to get them over the wall so that they can come to the game because that's what we do. We're selling all our tickets. We're not a serious football team.
Guys,
here.
Let me tell you about Quick Assist. Quick Assist gives you a chance to sell your ticket. Oh. God, I hope I don't have quick assist right here.
Well, I hope you
when
do.
You're just,
that'd be perfect.
Because I want everyone to get the most amount of money that they can, but from Texans fans.
No, but
but
me
from
and
Texans
got,
fans.
How about Dell all growed up and speaking for Monument Chevy? How about that?
I know.
I mean, I'm so proud. Time for me, though, to talk about Jim Fiumi at Gulf Coast Windows.
It's not a prideful day.
It is. It's a prideful day. Oh, Lance hates it, Dell. I'm so proud
I
of you.
Just
and look
pray
what
on
he
every,
does.
I just pray look on his
what
downfall.
He does, Dell.
I've told you he's an off. Well, you're being disingenuous. He's just an awful
person. He comes in the other day and goes, "Hey, guess what? You're going to hate this."
Yeah, I said it. I said exactly like that.
I mean,
same kind of brat energy right now. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah,
you got yourself.
He's sure
proud of you.
Yeah, no, I am. Yeah, you don't know. You don't know how proud I am.
Oh, I do know. You're not that proud.
I'm proud. Like, our little Dell is all grown up.
Don't call me little.
Our little
he's all grown up, and he's doing commercials now. I love that. Live spots. Time for me to talk, though, about Jim Fiume. After 36 years, dude has just been doing it. He just does it. That's all he does. Jim Fiume sells the best window in the world. Well, I'm going a little far there, and I. Well, if you're not sure what type of door or windows, they got a professional staff that is going to help you pick the right window for you. Do you want the vinyl window, or do you want the aluminum window, or do you want the hurricane window? Are you worried about hurricane? Listen, this window, this hurricane window, you want to talk about wood-clad windows. The installation will be perfect, be it aluminum, be it vinyl. They work with everything. There's no problem. You are going to get the best insulation you could possibly have. The window is going to be perfect. It is going to fit perfect. It is going to be perfect every single time. Same with the door. You're going to find and the doors, the selection, the quality, second to none. So you're building a home, and your builder is putting in the windows. You don't even know what kind of windows he's putting in. Tell them you want Gulf Coast windows, and you pick the windows out because this is what you have to live with for the next however many years. And that house is going to be more secure. It's going to be more private. It's going to be more economical. It's going to be all of those things because GulfCoastWindows.com, 281-849-5454, or GulfCoastWindows.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. Did you watch that game? Did you not? Let's go. If you want to get in here and talk about it, you're more than welcome to do that.
Leftover texts and stuff. We still got to get to that. There will be some people who maybe weren't listening yesterday or maybe have opinions or thoughts or maybe want to know what we thought. Yeah, at one point late in the show yesterday, people were just jam-packed on the boards. Mm-hmm. Like out of nowhere, they just wanted to call in. Oh, we also found out Gilbert intentionally caused the Texans to lose because he didn't get a steak. And he said they're going to lose Monday if he still doesn't get his Chili's steak.
Yeah.
We learned that yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, and it will continue, and it will continue again this week.
You want to lose against the Cowboys? Yeah, yeah. Well, I better get my steak and corn on the cob and French fries for Chili's anyway. And then he'll later on Dr. Pepper. He'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, so there, you know, hey, listen. There's a lot of blame to go around. I don't know. I don't know if you agree. Maybe you agree or disagree. I read a story where the three people that are most to blame, well, the three most to blame are CJ takes top because he could have made plays that would have won that game. And sometimes you got to score more than 23 points. And you know what? And sometimes you got to actually score in the second half. Sometimes we, you know, the Texans here, they don't believe in that, but you know what? They need to start believing and scoring maybe a touchdown over a month long period. A month-long period where you don't score a touchdown in the second half. There is something wrong.
Now,
you and I have poo-pooed the adjustments things, and, you know, we've been in locker rooms. We've seen coaches. We talked to coaches. Your dad was a coach and all of this stuff. Adjustments are schmushments. Well, somebody's doing something right in the second half, and somebody's doing something wrong. And it's the Texans that are doing something wrong. So maybe D'Amico needs to look at the way that they're doing things at halftime and change things.
Maybe they just get tight. Maybe it's just not about a change. Maybe that because the way CJ played in the first half and the way he played in the second half were night and day.
Well, is the tightness coming from the field? Is it coming from the play calls? Is the tightness
from having a lead and trying to hang on to it? Like, oh, here we go again. That happens. I mean, you know, we see sports psychology is a real thing. We see it with Ryan Pressly, for example. There's no adjustments that are being made against Pressly. He gets tight in certain situations. He's like, oh, God, not this again. And I wonder if that's, you know, if CJ has any of that. I think it's hard to – it kind of bothers me that everyone plays the blame game. Like you said, okay, so here's who's to blame for this.
Well, and wait a minute. Just to go back to that, I would totally disagree with that.
What about
Pressly
what?
Doesn't get tight just because of the situation. Pressly has been in the biggest situations in the World Series His pitches are not as good right now.
But he gets mentally.
No, he's older. His ball is hanging over the strike zone. He's not hitting the same location.
You think that,
that
he's confident? You think he's a confident pitcher?
I don't know. It's not. It's
I don't
not
think
about
he's confident.
Confident. I don't think he's confident
That's
because
tight.
His pitching isn't as good.
That's what I mean by getting tight. He's. I think he goes up there. I think when you're confident, it has a big. You know this from golf, for example, directly. I can tell you from basketball. It's the same way. When you go up with a level of confidence, your performance is better.
There's well, no, when you
you're
go
tight
up there
and, you're
and
thinking
your
negative.
Swing is really good, then you feel confident. But if you don't have the stuff that he used to have, if you're not throwing the ball in the same locations that you used to, then you're not as good.
I mean, Lance McCullers would get tight at different times, and we've seen this. There's certain mental stuff, and I think when you play from a lead and you start to see it shrink away, I think that you know
Lance
it can
McCullers,
cause.
That's a pretty small sample size. We saw him once in the World Series.
No. He
and,
for example,
and, but the time before we saw him, he had. Threw 800 straight curveballs.
No. That game seven of that same series, he got tight, hit three batters. And Lance has had when Lance is going, Lance is really good. When things don't go his way, he could explode in a single inning. But, I mean, I don't want to – I shouldn't have brought up baseball. But for football, I think the Texans get a little bit tight when they have a lead. I don't know. I think it's some of everything. I think, you know, just – really thinking about Bobby Slowick because he's the – and this is pretty normal. You either get rid of offensive line coach or your offense coordinator. This is the normal routine, okay? Then it goes to get rid of head coach usually or quarterback depending on who's more popular. And then the next guy is up and then it turns into – you know, of course, defensive coordinator can be the same guy that's under – duress. Bobby Slowick, I think it's really, you know, really quite ridiculous because unless you're willing to give him all the credit, if you want to give him all the blame, I would say an offense coordinator typically is going to share about 20 to 25% of the blame for how a quarterback's doing. Do you think that's accurate?
Okay. Well, offense coordinator is always going to catch it with play
no,
calling.
I know, but
people,
do you think in reality 20 to 25%? I think that. I'm sorry. 20 to 25% of the success can be attributed, I think, to potentially a play caller. Quarterbacks still have to, maybe higher.
Maybe higher.
But my point is you never hear people say, Bobby Slowick is killing it when it's really good. It's only not CJ's fault. Well, that's not true. A lot of people realize CJ's not playing as well. But if you can't keep the same – Bobby Slowick is responsible, I think, for not being creative enough to create opportunities at different moments. I completely agree with that. You got to keep people on their toes, and he's not keeping defenses on their toes. That's his job. When a passing play goes awry, to say it's play calling is stupid. It's
no,
just not how it works.
Especially when you saw the pass that he hung up there, the tank tail. That's the killer.
Or the first
That was the killer. That was the play that lost the football game. Because if he makes that play, they're up 30. They're up big.
That's execution.
Yeah. So that's execution. Is exactly. Okay. All right. Right now, because you said it. In what order do they have to go? I would say number one. Strouser, the offensive line coach.
I would say so too, yeah. Unfortunately.
Number two might be Slowick. Or
I think they're getting rid of one guy. I think the line coach.
Well,
no.
But in what order? Okay, the second
are
guy.
Are you saying who's at fault?
In what order would they have? No, what order? Because D'Amico ain't getting fired, right?
So you're saying you're saying firing.
Yeah, in what order? I don't think Strouser makes it after this.
No, D'Amico's not. No, and there's only one guy. There's Strouser. It's not Bobby Slowick is not getting fired. I think,
well, if you rank them, it would probably be Slowick second,
D'Amico third. Yeah.
I don't. Well, or
you have to.
Or
if we're
what about
rank him.
What about Caseria?
Yeah, get rid of him too.
No. In what order?
A three.
You think he would be before D'Amico? I think Caserio would go before.
But once again, I want to say out loud, I'm uncomfortable with this because I don't think those guys should be fired.
No.
I think Strouser is the one guy that, as line coach, you got some of the same issues happening, some of the same issues with picking up stunts. You know, we were really – or twists. We were really lucky the Lions didn't do it. For whatever – they just don't do it.
And I know. They didn't
we were really lucky that – because Aaron Glenn knew. He watched the tape. He knew. Little Birdie told me he was well aware of it, but I was, like, surprised. He didn't throw that at the Texans at all. He's got a bunch of injuries, but he didn't try to twist or he didn't try to run a bunch of games against the Texans at all. I guess he just thought he could rush without having to do that. So I think they got lucky, but I think Strausser is likely to be gone. I think there will be a player maybe gone off the offensive line, maybe two. Kenyon Green will be gone. I don't think Bobby Slowick is going anywhere unless he's a head coach somewhere. I still think he's a pretty good play caller, but right now I think there are issues that he's having with thinking. Here's my problem. I think Bobby Slowick thinks that he's, because he was running the ball well with Joe Mixon, I think he's trying to be more traditional, like Gary Kubiak would be traditional, and he's taking a more traditional route. So you have traditional play callers in that kind of offense. You have Mike McDaniel, who's non-traditional. Kyle Shanahan is kind of a mix. LaFleur is more traditional. I think right now Bobby Slowick has got to get to a different – he's going to have to get to something that's more creative. It doesn't always – you don't always need creative. You just need execution, and you need to put your team in the best position to win relative to what they're doing well and what the other team doesn't do well. Right now he's going to have to find creative ways. The other day he should have found creative ways to get the ball to the perimeter and get – the run, the quote-unquote running game reestablished out wide with the short passing game probably. He didn't do it, and that's on him. And I think that a big problem I have with – I don't have a problem with Bobby Slowick in terms of how he schemes passing attacks up and all that. My big problem with him is that when he gets past – we talked about it yesterday. Once he gets into the 40-yard range, the plus 40 – where you're, you know, the opponent's 40, and you can kick a long field goal, it's like, God almighty, it just isn't working for them. They lead the league in 50-yard field goals. That's just not acceptable. It's not acceptable.
How about he set the record for 50-yard field goals in week 9?
In week 9, yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, we got a break. When we come back, is this the right offense for CJ? That's been put out there.
Okay.
And we will talk about it. But right now I'm talking about Chastang Ford. I'm talking about you Jeep owners out there. You own a Jeep right now? You want to switch to the Ford Bronco or the Bronco Sport? How about an additional, with all the other stuff that they give off for the Bronco right now, an additional $2,000 off, okay? Ram truck owners, you want to get into the F-150? An additional $2,000 off of all the other incentives. Check out the Ford Bronco Sport. I'm telling you, it is a great, and it's crazy. You can get into that thing for $369 per month. That's how ridiculously low. $369 with zero down. You got finance offers of 2.9% for 72 months or 3.9% for 60 months. How about this? The Bronco, 5.9% for 60 months or 7.9% for 72 months. If you want the F-150, up to $6,000 cash back plus the $2,000 for Ram owners and then 1.9% for 60 months. And the bonus Ram, $2,000. Look, there's all kinds of deals there. Chastang Ford is ready for you. Chastang Ford is going to find a way to get you into that car or truck at the price that you have to be at, with no add-ons and no markups. They want you to be the most comfortable you could possibly be with your payment. So they're going to make sure that you are pleased and you're walking out of there with the best vehicle for you. Right now at Chastang Ford on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, or you can do it all online at ChastangFord.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're promoting Paul's dating life content now? Okay.
Well, what we're doing, at least in Michael's eyes, is giving people a feel for what happens on that show sometimes, and they sometimes talk about Paul's dating life.
Okay. All right. That's a reason. Tune in, see who Paul's dating today.
It's more about Paul's failures, I think.
It's more
from what I can tell.
Oh, really? Because he's having a hard time with that dating life?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he just is meeting women who don't fit what he's looking for. So he might comment on that, I think, and that's where that comes from.
All right. No jokes now, Twitter. Stop already. I know what
I wasn't kidding, by the way.
I know, but you know what Twitter's going to come up with. So, please, no jokes. Apparently, there's a dilemma here. Jackie has a dilemma. I really appreciate JG not letting LZ ramble about a detail that doesn't affect the story, but I kind of want to know that second coach's name now.
Don't say that.
Somebody that played ball with you has got to text you.
He had a beard and he had glasses.
Okay.
Is Mike Zuerlein listening? Coach Leverett was 7th grade and Coach...
I've been listening since 97.
Oh, I had an Adolf as an 8th grade. By the way, John, I had an Adolf as a coach.
Oh, awesome.
German guy named Adolf Acker.
Wow, you just don't see that anymore. I don't know why.
No, he had a flat top and he also ran head first. He was showing you how to take on a block and he ran his head into a kid with the helmet and blood started gushing out of his head.
And bloodied himself, yeah, yeah. I really appreciate I've been listening since 97. Today was the first time John ever hit LZ with a who cares, just move on. Still breaking new ground after all these years. Incredible. Yep.
Speaking of that, did you see Jerome Solomon tweeted about the show yesterday?
I did.
No, what'd he say?
we played that clip from Michelle Beadle, and you told me during the break it was clean. Turns out it wasn't clean enough. Yeah. And he goes, "What Hall of Famers nearly made me actually said made me hit a curb because
we were talking about
because they had to dump that Michelle Beadle sound."
Said first, it was the South Carolina ticket thing.
Yeah, when you said Gamecock tickets, but you didn't add the game to it.
And,
come get your Gamecock tickets, but you said something else. Yeah. And then we went into Michelle Beadle's sound that wasn't clean, and we had to dump it.
It was clean. It
well,
was just
it was
misunderstood.
A
Yeah, but still, but if we're going into it knowing it's a problem and we still do it, that's a problem for us.
But we also discussed how John is like a bear, and sometimes with bears, you can't run from them, and sometimes you have to, you make yourself big, you go, ah, bear, ah, and they'll run off. And so we were having to do that on several occasions yesterday when John started doing his bear stuff.
Well, I didn't do any bear stuff.
Where they walk in and you're like, oh, no.
She didn't say the word. She just slipped up is all she did.
Okay.
And that's not unclean content.
You sure? I'm going to test it. Can you say the word she said?
No.
What? What's the problem?
But I like making Michelle Beadle look bad. That's all.
What? Because you don't like women.
Oh.
No.
Wow.
Do you like Mina Kimes?
No.
Do you like Megan Rapinoe?
No, I do like Mina Kimes. Why?
You do? I didn't think you liked Mina Kimes.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Michelle Beadle or Jamel.
Is this all political?
Well, what do you think?
What do you think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care about people's politics. Care about if you're good.
Michelle Beadle quit ESPN.
I think
Michelle Beadle quit ESPN because they were talking about the NFL.
Well, she's a basketball person. I like
She was on that show, and she said, "I refuse to talk about that league anymore because of the kneeling thing."
Well,
wait. She said she refused to talk about the NFL anymore.
They say fire her, or did she quit?
She quit.
Well, that's her right, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh well,
yeah. I mean, and now she's doing with Chandler Parsons and Sweet Lou, right?
Yeah. She does.
Was that Chandler she was with?
Yes,
it was Chandler. Yeah, yeah. Chandler's doing that. I don't know why, but he's doing it. He's got. Plenty
FanDuel TV.
Yeah,
FanDuel TV. They must be paying him pretty well because Chandler's got a ton of money. He doesn't need that stuff in his life. All right, what about this offense? Here is someone said this.
It's Deontay Lee. He is an analyst for the Ringer, current football coach, I think, on the high school level. But he breaks down the NFL stuff for them, and he has comments on what would fit CJ. As far as
so offense. Billy M said, not every quarterback should, needs to play in a Shanahan offense. That's why I don't feel like Stroud and Slowick are a good fit. If the offense was similar to the Commanders, even Bengals, where things are spread out, you'd see better maximizing of his talent. Deontay Lee said, Stroud would be great in the Andy Reid tree of offense. Spread RPOs, more max and chip protections in the 5-7
every
step
quarterback
game,
would be.
And allowing him to work through mesh and more college-wide concepts. I'm going to tell you this. He does. That offensive line needs more help. And if he doesn't start giving, you know what? I don't know. Did we see more chipping this time?
This is the dumbest thing in the world. Do we not watch last year? This offense is not the problem for him. This is a levels-based concept where he gets to make simpler reads. It's an extraordinarily quarterback-friendly offense. He doesn't have enough time to pass.
That's it.
That's the problem.
Well, he
this
does
isn't
need
about,
more
well, we
shipping.
Need more mesh concept. Yeah, I'm fine with mesh concepts on the short crossers. I'm fine with but a lot of the offense that and it's not even Slowik. It's the West Coast, it's the Shanahan version of it. It's going to allow for a lot of throws that play right into his strengths. This is a great offense for him. When I say this offense, it means the general offense, right? It means Miami. It's the Shanahan tree offense, McVay, LaFleur. It's that offense. The offense is not the problem. The amount of time to throw is. It couldn't have been the good offense for him last year, and it's bad this year. Now, I will say that CJ, I don't always love the fact that they have to try to run out of the gun. I don't think that's super beneficial for.
Well, they did more. No, he was under.
He's
center
under center
more.
A lot more.
He did a lot more.
He
did a lot more play action boot
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but the Lions were kind of on that. The Lions were kind of on that boot. But he did a good job of buying time and completing passes.
He bought himself more time. One time he
wiggled a little bit and and bought himself time. But I don't think the problem is not this offensive style. It's really now. I do think he could operate in more spread based, traditional a traditional spread based offense. But I don't think he'd hit the same amount of long plays. I think what makes CJ, if you do that, you kind of take away some of the elements that make Nico Collins dangerous. Nico is specifically dangerous in the West Coast offense with a lot of where he's going to be running a lot of deep digs, a lot of posts, over routes. This is what and go routes. This is what Nico is going to thrive in. So let's see what happens when he gets back and somebody does their freaking job up front protecting him.
Well, to his point, I mean, okay, yes, you're right. Everyone would succeed in the Chiefs' offense, but the Bengals' offense, I guess Ja'Marr Chase is doing pretty good with those same things that Nico does. He's down the field. He's running deep posts. He's running digs.
Ja'Marr's an elite receiver.
Well, so is Nico.
Yeah, Joe Burrow was
the
first. Yeah, they're both. But Nico was a second round pick.
It's funny how
with 1 year of college.
It's funny how CJ's struggles are coincide with Nico not being there.
I know, and we're trying to literally change his offensive. Like he's in the wrong offense. No, I actually think CJ could operate in multiple offenses. That's the fact. I think CJ could operate in multiple offenses. I don't think this is an issue. Pretty much this type of offense is beneficial to almost every quarterback in the league. Jordan Love, you had the
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy he would not succeed in a lot of offenses. Of course, Sam Darnold is starting to come back down to earth, but it helps Sam Darnold. It's just a quarterback friendly offense. It just is. I don't think this is the issue. Protection is the issue. It's that simple, John. It's the economy stupid. It's the protection stupid. That's what it is. That's what it is. He didn't have the running game. He had injuries. He had better protection last year. Tank Dell was a bigger factor last year, and nobody complained about. No one was saying, "Boy, this Slowik is terrible. Boy, this offense isn't good." I think Slowik has got to. He's got to tighten his game up. There's no question about it. CJ's not the same, and CJ's got to play better. And Sarge, who does local media stuff, said something that I was happy for him to say it. It's an accountability thing. I don't want people who are in locker rooms to just be best friends with the players and I don't want that. You don't get a true assessment. If you're going to be a media member, you got to be able to say some things that are the facts that maybe people aren't going to like all the time. And he just said. He said something about CJ is going to have to – that second half, CJ is going to have to be accountable for that second half. Something to
he
that.
He is, though. He's being accountable.
Something to that extent.
He's
no, and he is accountable. Yeah, he is accountable. And CJ's mom retweeted it and said, really? And then people jumped on Sarge like, he doesn't know anything. Like her own son said, yeah, I got to play better. Because you know why? Because he's always been accountable. He's a good leader. He's accountable.
No, he did have to play.
But the mom is like, what?
Mom didn't think it was CJ's fault?
No.
Really? Okay.
No.
Of course she didn't. She's his mom.
Yeah. And that's true. I don't worry that much about her. If some of the other Texans fans just jump in, like, how in the world do you not look and say, okay, some of this is super conservative play calling, especially certain areas of the field. No question. Yeah. And some of it's CJ. How do you not say it's both?
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Yeah, all right.
And D'Amico did not have his finest game either.
No. 713-780-3776. If you guys want to get in here, yeah, you had calls yesterday. Let's go. You probably got some thoughts. If you didn't get in yesterday, you're more than welcome to get in today. Right now, though, we got GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. I'm looking for a way for you to get rid of that car. I'm telling you here and now, right now, GiveMeTheVin.com is the way to go. If you're looking for the best way to sell that vehicle, GiveMeTheVin.com. Okay? I've talked about this. Now, I love how we say, I told you to do this. And no, listen, there is one thing, okay, two things. If you've got prostate issues, you got to see Dr. Manavis. But if you're going to sell your car, you have to go to GiveMeTheVin.com because you have to establish what that vehicle is worth. They will establish it. You go to CarMax, you go to your dealer, you go to your brother-in-law, whoever you're selling this car to, you put it in the paper, whatever you do, I don't know, put it on a website. And you say, here's the vehicle. What do you want to pay for it? And they don't meet GiveMeTheVin.com. Then you go, wow, GiveMeTheVin.com. They're going to give me the most for my car. But if you go and CarMax says, hey, we're going to give you more for that vehicle, then you go back to GiveMeTheVin.com and you say, look, CarMax says they'll give me more. And then John Clay Wolf will either say, I'll give you more than that, or here's $100. Okay? So there's one place that you have to go. If you're ever selling a vehicle, the first place that you go, GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right.
This is a request, John. I requested this from Paramore.
You did? This is Del's band, right?
Don't blame me for this. He asked for this specifically.
No, Run, you, Jesus, you, Run. What is that group you like?
This is Paramore.
Yes, it's Run, Jesus, Run.
No, this is Paramore. What's her name, Paramore, the lead singer?
Haley Williams.
Yeah.
He's the one who requested. Listen to him.
Listen to it. See, we're just a little up-tempo now.
Yeah, I like it.
That's right. It just feels like the Rockets beat the Wizards. It feels like I won my fantasy football league this year and this week, my game, and John lost his. It just feels like good vibes right now.
You're still three games behind me.
Tits, here I come. I remember when the Lions were losing by 16 with 5 interceptions. What happened?
And they won. You're right.
Josh Allen can't cover up for you forever.
You do
have a juggernaut.
Listen, sometimes I got to start Bo Nix. That's how good. I mean, what kind of world is it that we're living in?
Bo Nix has not been a bad quarterback.
No, yeah.
Bo was. You know, every year draft people find a guy that they want to hate. Just random white quarterback that they're like, if this guy plays a down in football, I'm done with this whole sport. He sucks. And Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels, the two most accomplished college, the most starts. I shouldn't say most accomplished. The most starts in college football. They're the two best. Now, I also think that Bo Nix got with the perfect head coach and the perfect offense. That's an example of.
Yes. Yes.
Bo Nix
yes.
would not be great in this offense but for the
I
Texans.
I'll pat myself on. I said that on draft night.
Yeah.
This is the perfect. Sean Payton.
As did I, because it was obvious, wasn't it?
A guy who's going to dink and dunk.
Yeah.
Like Drew Brees throwing for 80%. Are you kidding me?
It was perfect.
This is perfect.
And it would keep him in a positive mindset. Sean Payton knows how to keep the offense on schedule and on track. It was great. Jaden Daniels is just a special talent. He's just really good. He was great on tape. You didn't know. One year being really, really good, does this translate? Yeah, it did for Joe Burrow. I mean, yeah, it can, but he had 5 years of starting experience. And you get Caleb Williams, who had, frankly, average tape his last year. A lot of hero ball stuff, just a lot of things that weren't great. And he needs – now, he played a good amount of football. I mean, Caleb played a good amount of football. But, man, he's a mess right now. The Bears are getting ready to change play callers again. This is going to be – I mean, Eberflus, I don't know if Ryan Poles is going to stick with him or not. But, you know, I would go with Ben Johnson. I would try to get Ben Johnson away from the Lions and their offensive play caller. I'd get him away from the Lions. I'd tie him up with Caleb Williams. Because let's face it, if you're Ryan Poles, your job is going to – you know, depend most everyone's job depends on the quarterback you draft, and I would do that. But Bobby Slowick is going to he's going to get some interviews if the Texans get back on track, which I think they will, and I think the offense will get back on track, and I think some of this will quiet down a little bit. He's going to get some interviews, but you know, this is a good. It's always an interesting look for coaches at, you know. There's always an assumption that everything will be good all the time, and it's, and you can just go pick and choose your job whenever you want to. Football is a fickle sport, especially pro football, and well, actually, especially college football. Look at Jay Norvell and Jay Norvell in Florida State. But you know, Bobby is not going to be right now. He would not be the hot candidate. Aaron Glenn would be a much hotter candidate than Bobby Slowick.
Yeah. All right, we got callers. Let's get them in here.
Yep.
713-780-3776. Chris, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love this show. I was actually going to call in about getting tight, because I definitely agree with that, Lance. I think you're right there. But, John, did you play golf yesterday?
I did not.
Okay, because I just wondered if you had to get out of the show kind of quick and not spend hours and hours show prepping like Lance and Dell do for their shows. Because talking about Texans coach getting fired while we're first place and having some struggles.
Yeah.
About 99.
No, I didn't say
like
that the Texans coach. I didn't, Chris. I didn't say that the Texans coach should get fired. I said, I asked, in what order? In what order would they go? And I said, DeMeco would be last. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Chris Strausser is probably the only. Now, Chris, don't, Chris. Chris Strausser is probably the guy. Is not going to last. He's not going to have any. But I just said, in what order? Would they and Bobby Slowick would be the second to have to go if and you know what, there's a chance after this season maybe they don't stick with Bobby Slowick. We'll see if this thing continues.
Two months ago you were for Clint about Bobby Slowick getting poached, and now he's second on the list. Here's my
absolutely
thought.
Absolutely.
We need to be talking about how we're going to.
Well, we just said though, Chris. We just said that Aaron Glenn is probably ahead of him now. You know, sometimes you move up, Chris, and sometimes you move down on the ladder. And you know what? Bobby Slowick has moved down on the ladder this season.
Is there any? If we continue to struggle, finish 11-6, 10-7. Do you honestly think Slowick has a chance of getting fired? And I think it's 0%.
No, I think it's zero. Also,
I don't see any scenario. No, I don't think it's zero. I don't think it's zero at all. And especially
if they finish 10-7,
if they continue to struggle in the second half, absolutely, I do think. I don't
think
it's zero.
So 1 year, last year was offensive rookie of the year and MVP talk, and they came out of nowhere, did it with beat up offensive line, no running game, and so this year we're ready to. I'm not saying you're calling for.
Hold
on
a second. I'm not advocating for.
I know
you guys. Why don't you take it to the freaking extreme?
Well, but you brought
Chris,
up
Chris. Yeah. Why don't you just go? I'm calling for DeMeco to get fired, Chris. According to you, so stop already. That's nothing like I said.
Well, you didn't ask the question like, do you think any of these guys? Do you think there's a chance anyone would be gone?
No, I didn't ask that.
You said in
Strausser
what order
is probably going to
would
go
they get
after
fired?
This
yeah, and I don't think there's any. Like, I think it's a totally different conversation. I think Strausser's the only guy you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't think one quote unquote bad year is going to get him fired. Is going to get where they win 10 games is going to get that's outlandish. That's not going to happen after the year they had last year.
No one said it's going to happen, but it's not zero. Not the way that the US offense is going now. It's certainly not zero. It's not zero. So, especially if they finish 10-7 and don't do anything and lose their first playoff game, I could absolutely see that they might make a change.
You're saying the way the offense is going, this is not the Chicago Bears. You're talking about the second half of games.
No, you're
They're
talking
still
about your franchise quarterback getting killed week in and week out.
That's a lot of that's a protection issue. We just talked about that.
Right.
That's why I don't.
Well, Bobby Slowick, I don't know if you know this, but Bobby Slowick is in charge of that, too.
I would be willing to bet, well, to an extent. Yeah, to an extent.
Yes.
And so is CJ. CJ's supposed to be able to
absolutely
make calls and get himself protected. And I'm not sure he's doing it properly all those times. However, I would just say, I just think for people waiting for them to get rid of a in the second year of Bobby Slowick, in the second year, if they're waiting for him to get fired, and if what happens now, I'm working off what Chris said. If it's a 10 and 7 season or 11-6 season, there's no chance. And I think the offense has moved the ball. They break down in the second half. There's an inconsistency. It's got to be addressed. Same things were true with Gary Kubiak. You know that, John. They were a one-half team. I don't know why, but for a couple of years, they just barely scored either in the first half or the second half. They just couldn't put it together two halves in a row. But you're not going to go from having offensive rookie of the year with MVP conversations and the injuries he's had.
He's getting fired.
I'm pointing out in a general sense. Maybe
but
you didn't know.
Certainly not.
You're
zero.
Not the only one talking about Bobby Slowick, John. Bobby Slowick is the conversation for Texans fans. I'm making a general conversation point. I'm not talking about. I don't know why you brought up. Okay, giving the order, you're firing these guys. That's what made it. I think that's what bothered Chris. And I told you right away. Well, I don't think there's any chance. I think Strauss is the one. I don't think there's any chance. You know, you line it up. Now, if you want to say whose fault is this,
right
or whatever,
now the blank game. Right now the blank
game. I would have played it differently. That's probably a better way to.
That's
to
probably
say it.
A better way to say it. The blank game right now is Strausser. And Bobby Slowick is second.
Yeah, I'd say CJ. We're only doing coaches, though. Then I guess D'Amico third, I mean,
well,
how many other coaches can
CJ,
you have?
CJ, absolutely. Because you know what? Teams change quarterbacks, too. There is zero chance they will change quarterbacks with CJ Stroud.
Right.
There's zero chance. However, as far as the blame game goes, CJ's got to take his share, too. Absolutely. Absolutely he's got to take his share. And D'Amico, too. Like you said, D'Amico didn't have his best game either.
Yeah. And he hasn't for a couple games. Like you gotta, you know, and you gotta sift through. See, it's driving our fan base. It's driving this is what happens with adversity. How are we handling adversity right now on this show? How are we handling adversity? This is what they say defines your character. How you handle the tough times, like CJ not having good games back to back. How are we handling it right now on this show?
Right,
I'm handling it fine, but the rest of you are struggling.
Okay, I'm handling this fun. I'm handling your need for a basketball goal. Your need for a basketball goal is great, probably. I don't know what your kids are doing every day. Are they sitting in the house every day? Are they outside? Do they want a basketball goal? Because if they want a basketball goal, Dad, there's only one goal to get them, especially if they're little. You got third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh graders even. Now, listen, it's a tough deal reaching that 10-foot rim, okay? If you got younger kids, the best way to go about this is to lower the goal. Now they get a shooting eye. And granted, it's not 10 feet, but they get a shooting eye. And they start to make baskets, and they feel good, and they want to be out there, and they want to dribble more, and they want to make more baskets, and they want to make more baskets. You put a 10-foot goal out there for a third grader, he ain't going to be able to make no baskets. Come on. So lower that goal. Let them get a shooting eye, and as they grow, you raise and lower the goal. The big kids come over. They want to play in the 10-foot goal. The big kids love playing on an 8-foot or 7-foot goal, too. You raise and lower the goal. The hoops goal is the best. Mom will love it because of its curb appeal. You'll love it. The kids are outside. Everybody's enjoying it. You didn't waste your money on some crappy box store goal. You've got a goal that the kids want to play on. Hoops. ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com. Best goal ever. ProDunk.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.